Welcome back to Automate Office Work, the podcast where we turn your soul-crushing admin tasks into something that doesn't make you want to throw your laptop out the window. I'm your host, Justin. And if you're new here, welcome to the party. We talk about real solutions for real office problems, and we keep it fun because life's too short to be boring about spreadsheets. Today, we're diving into a topic that I guarantee has touched every single person listening. And I mean, every single person. If you've ever worked in an office, run a business, managed a team, or honestly just had to organize anything more complex than a grocery list, you have lived this story. It's the story of Excel. Specifically, it's the story of how Excel starts as your best friend and slowly, quietly, without you even noticing, becomes the source of chronic frustration, wasted time, bad data, and that nagging feeling that there has to be a better way to do this. You know the story, right? It starts so innocently. Someone says, hey, we need to track our inventory. Let's just throw it in Excel real quick. Or we need a client list, Excel, or project status, expense reports, employee onboarding checklists, even RSVPs, vendor contracts. And the answer is always the same. Excel, 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 and more Excel. And why not? Excel is everywhere. It's on every computer. It's been around since 1985, literally older than most of the people using it. It's familiar. It's approachable. You can get started in 30 seconds. You open it up, type some headers across the top row, customer name, status, due date, amount, and boom, you're off to the races. You feel productive. You feel organized. You look like you have your act together. It's like that friend who's always available at 2 a.m. when you need late night snacks and therapy. Excel is always there for you. Until one day, it's not. One day, Excel fails when you really need it. The file takes forever to open. Someone accidentally deletes a critical formula. Three different versions of the file are circulating via email. The data is wrong, and nobody knows why. And you're sitting there thinking, how did we get here? Well, today we're going to talk about exactly how you got here. How to know when it's time to break up with your spreadsheet and what you should actually do next without needing a computer science degree, a six-month IT project, or a budget the size of a small country. This is going to be a long one, about an hour of real talk, real stories, and real solutions. So grab your coffee or your wine or your stress ball, whatever gets you through the day, and let's do this. If you're sitting at your desk right now, staring at a spreadsheet that's slower than dial-up internet, and praying it doesn't corrupt before your big meeting, this episode is for you. By the end, you're going to feel empowered instead of trapped. You're going to understand why this keeps happening, and you're going to know exactly what to do about it. If you're finding value in today's episode, the best way to support us is to hit that follow button and leave a quick review. Whether you're on LinkedIn, Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, sharing this with one friend helps us more than you know. Search for Automate Office Work, or visit automateofficework.com for a list of all past episodes in all formats. All right, let's get into it. The love affair, why we all fell for Excel. Before we get into the problems, and trust me, we're going to get deep into the problems, I want to start by giving Excel some credit, because Excel truly is a legend. It deserves respect. Microsoft Excel has been around for almost 40 years. It's installed on something like a billion computers worldwide. It's the Swiss Army knife of office productivity, and it's genuinely, legitimately brilliant at what it was designed to do. Let me tell you what Excel is actually good at, because understanding this is key to understanding where it all goes wrong. Excel was built for calculations and analysis. It's a calculation engine wrapped in a grid. You have numbers, you write formulas to do math on those numbers, and you get results. That's the core value proposition. From day one, that's what spreadsheets were for. VisiCalc, the grandfather of all spreadsheets, came out in 1979 for the Apple II, and it was revolutionary. Before VisiCalc, if you wanted to build a financial model, you did it by hand. You had a piece of paper, a calculator, and a lot of patience. If you changed one assumption, say the interest rate, you had to recalculate everything manually, hours of work. VisiCalc changed that. You could type in your formulas once, change one number, and watch the entire model recalculate instantly. It was magic. People literally bought $2,000 Apple II computers just to run VisiCalc. That's how valuable it was. Then Lotus 1-2-3 came along in 1983, and then Excel in 1985 for the Mac, and 1987 for Windows. And the world has never been the same. For what Excel was designed to do, it's absolutely perfect. Financial modeling? Excel is your best friend. You're building a budget, forecasting revenue, analyzing profitability across different scenarios. Excel is the tool. Nobody's going to argue with that. One-off data analysis? Let's say you get a CSV file with sales data, and you need to quickly summarize it, chart it, find the top performers, spot trends. Excel's pivot tables and charts are chef's kiss. Absolutely excellent. Personal tracking? If it's just you, tracking your budget, your workout routine, your home renovation project, your fantasy football league, Excel is fast, flexible, and totally sufficient. Small team with low stakes? If it's you and one or two colleagues tracking something simple and the consequences of a mistake are minimal, Excel is fine. Here's the thing. Excel is approachable in a way that almost no other software is. You don't need training. You don't need to read a manual. You don't need to watch a tutorial. You can just start typing. Headers in one row, data starting in row two. Maybe a sum formula at the bottom. Done. There's no learning curve for basic use. And that frictionless beginning is exactly why we all fell in love with Excel. Because it meets you where you are. It doesn't judge. It doesn't require upfront setup. It doesn't demand that you think through a data model or define field types or configure permissions. It just works. So I get it. I really do. Excel is seductive. It promises to solve your problem right now, today, with zero barrier to entry. And for a while, for a little while, it keeps that promise. The problem isn't that Excel is bad. The problem is that we keep asking it to do things it was never built for. We take this brilliant calculation and analysis tool, and we try to turn it into a database, a workflow engine, a collaboration platform, a secure multi-user system, and a mission-critical business application. It's like using a Swiss Army knife to build a house. Sure, the knife has a saw. It has a screwdriver. It technically has tools that could, in theory, contribute to house building. But you wouldn't actually try to build a house with just a Swiss Army knife, would you? You'd use real tools, a real saw, a real drill, real scaffolding. But that's what we do with Excel. We start building our house, our business process, our data management system with Excel because it's what we have and it's easy to start. And then we're surprised when the roof caves in. The world literally runs on spreadsheets. I'm not exaggerating. I have talked to people in procurement departments that manage millions of dollars in vendor contracts in Excel. HR departments tracking all employee data in Excel. Sales teams running their entire pipeline in Excel. Finance departments doing month-end close in Excel. Operations teams managing supply chains in Excel. Spreadsheets are everywhere, and most of them are Excel. But here's the truth bomb, and this is what this whole episode is about. Excel was never designed to be a database. It was never designed to be a workflow engine. It was never designed to be a secure, multi-user, mission-critical system that your business depends on. When your needs grow beyond what Excel was built for, and they will, because businesses grow, teams grow, data grows, complexity grows, the pain starts. And it starts slowly, quietly, in ways you might not even notice at first, until one day you look up and realize, this isn't working anymore. And that's where most of you listening are right now. You're in the pain zone. You know the spreadsheet isn't working. You just don't know what to do about it. Well, buckle up, because we're going to spend the next hour figuring that out. The slow creep of pain. How we got here. Let me paint you a picture. I want you to really visualize this because I guarantee you've either lived this story or you know someone who has. Meet Sarah. Sarah works in operations at a mid-sized manufacturing company. About 2 years ago, her manager asked her to start tracking vendor deliveries. Nothing fancy. Just keep tabs on what's coming in, when it's expected, whether it arrived on time, that sort of thing. Sarah thinks, No problem. I'll just make a quick spreadsheet. She opens Excel, types some headers, vendor name, item description, quantity, expected delivery date, actual delivery date, status, notes, 7 columns, clean, simple, professional looking. She shares the file on the company's shared drive. She sends an email to the team. Hey everyone, I created a vendor delivery tracker. Please update it when you receive shipments. File is at sdrive:operations/vendortracker.xlsx. Thanks. For the first few weeks, it works great. Sarah updates her deliveries. 2 colleagues update theirs. The data is clean. The file is small and fast. Everyone's happy. Sarah feels like a productivity hero. Then month 2 hits. The warehouse gets busier. More people need to update the tracker. Someone opens the file and sees file is locked for editing by Sarah. They wait. They try again later. Still locked. They need to update it now because they have a shipment inspection in 10 minutes. So they do what anyone would do. They download a local copy, make their updates, and email it to Sarah with a note. Here's my updates. Can you merge them in? Now there are 2 versions of the file. Sarah manually copies the rows from the emailed version into the master version. She saves it. Someone else has been editing the master version at the same time. Conflict. Sarah has to reconcile the differences by hand. Month 3. Someone accidentally sorts column D without selecting all the columns first. Now all the data is misaligned. Vendor names don't match their items. Sarah spends an hour using undo to fix it. She adds a note at the top in big red letters. Important. Always select all columns before sorting! !! Someone doesn't see the note. They sort anyway. Data scrambles again. Month 4. The file is up to 800 rows. Someone types IDK in the quantity field because they're not sure and they're in a hurry. Someone else leaves the expected delivery date completely blank. Someone enters 23/5/2004 for a date. Someone else enters May 23. Someone else enters 5/23/24. The date column is now useless for sorting or filtering because Excel doesn't recognize half of them as actual dates. Month 5. Sarah creates a pivot table to report on on-time delivery rates. The formula breaks because someone typed on time in some rows and on time in small letters in others and on hyphen time in others and delivered in others. Her report shows 4 different categories for what should be 1 category. She presents it to her boss. The numbers don't match reality. Her boss questions the data. Sarah has to go back and manually clean 800 rows. Month 6. The file hits 2,500 rows. It takes 20 seconds to open. Scrolling is laggy. The pivot table takes forever to refresh. Someone accidentally deletes a formula in a calculated column and doesn't notice. For 2 weeks, the calculations are wrong. Nobody catches it until Sarah is preparing her monthly report and the numbers look weird. She doesn't know when the formula was deleted or who did it. There's no audit trail. She has to manually check every row to figure out what's missing and fix it. Month 7. The file corrupts. Just corrupts. Someone tries to open it and gets Excel cannot open the file because the file format or file extension is not valid. Panic. Pure panic. Sarah restores from yesterday's backup on the shared drive. 6 hours of work from yesterday afternoon is gone. Nobody remembered to save those updates anywhere else. Fast forward to today, 18 months later. The file is 12,000 rows. It's 47 megabytes. It takes 2 minutes to open it on a good day. It crashes once or twice a week. There are at least 6 different versions floating around in various email inboxes. Half the team doesn't trust the data anymore. Sarah spends 4 to 6 hours every single week just cleaning the data, fixing errors, reconciling duplicates, and hunting down who entered what. The tracker that was supposed to make Sarah's life easier has become a second full-time job, and she's burned out, and she knows there has to be a better way. She just doesn't know what it is. Does this sound familiar? If you're nodding right now, you're not alone. This story plays out in thousands of companies every single day. The details change, Maybe it's a sales pipeline instead of a vendor tracker. Maybe it's an HR database instead of inventory. Maybe it's a project status sheet instead of deliveries. But the arc is identical. You start small and nimble with Excel because it's frictionless to begin. You get early wins. It feels productive. But as the data grows, as the team grows, as the stakes grow, the cracks appear and they widen. And suddenly you're spending more time managing the spreadsheet than using the data. This is what I call the Excel trap. It's easy to get in, hard to get out. The initial investment is zero, but the ongoing cost in time, in frustration, in data quality, in risk, it compounds silently until it's overwhelming. And here's the really insidious part. It happens so gradually that you don't notice it's happening until you're already deep in the pain. Month one feels fine. Month three has some quirks, but nothing major. Month six is annoying, but manageable. Month 12 is a disaster, but you're so invested now, so dependent on this spreadsheet that starting over feels impossible. So you keep limping along, patching, cleaning, hoping, until something breaks badly enough that you have to find a better solution. My goal today is to help you recognize the warning signs before you hit that breaking point, and to show you that there are better solutions. Solutions that are more accessible, more affordable, and easier to implement than you probably think. But first, we need to really get clear on why Excel fails when you use it this way. We need to understand the specific concrete problems, because once you see them clearly, the path forward becomes obvious. The big problems, a deep dive into what's actually broken. All right, let's get into the details. I want to go through, one by one, the specific ways that Excel breaks down when you try to use it as a database or a business process tool. I'm going to give you real-world scenarios for each one because I want you to hear yourself in these stories. I want you to recognize these problems in your own work. And I want you to understand that these aren't your fault. They're fundamental limitations of what Excel is. Ready? Let's go. Problem number one. Everyone can see everything and edit everything. No real access control. This is the most fundamental problem with Excel, and it's the one that causes the most organizational headaches. When you share an Excel file, whether by email, by putting it on a shared drive, by uploading it to SharePoint or OneDrive, wherever, you are essentially handing someone the entire file. They can see every row, every column, every piece of data, and in most cases, they can edit all of it too. Now, I know what some of you are thinking, but wait. Excel has protection features. You can password protect sheets. You can lock cells. You can hide columns. Yes, you can. Let me tell you what those features actually do versus what people think they do. Sheet protection with a password. This prevents accidental edits. It does not prevent a determined person from viewing the data or extracting it. More importantly, sheet protection passwords in Excel can be cracked by free online tools in literally seconds. I'm not kidding. Google Excel password cracker, and you'll find a dozen websites that will break your sheet protection in under 10 seconds for free. Locked cells, same deal. They stop accidents, not intentions. And they're only active if sheet protection is turned on, which we just established is not real security. Hidden columns. Someone right-clicks on the column headers, clicks unhide, and boom, they can see everything. Takes 3 seconds. There is no true granular role-based access control in Excel. You cannot say Sarah can see rows 1 through 500, but not rows 501 through 1,000. You cannot say Mike can see the customer name and status columns, but not the revenue column. You cannot say the sales team can edit their own leads, but only view leads owned by others. Those are basic, fundamental requirements for any multi-user business system. And Excel, it just can't do them. Not really. Not in a way that actually holds up. Let me give you a real-world example of why this matters. There was an HR department a couple years ago. They were tracking all employee information in Excel. One master file. It had tabs for personal info, compensation, performance reviews, and disciplinary actions. The file was shared with the HR team, 5 people, and also with all the department managers so they could update their team members' performance reviews. Here's what that meant in practice. Every manager could see every other employee's salary. Every manager could see disciplinary actions for people in other departments. Every manager could see personal information, home address, emergency contacts, health notes for the entire company. This is not a hypothetical, technically possible risk. This is what actually happened. And it's a legal nightmare. Privacy violations, potential lawsuits, regulatory compliance issues if they were in certain industries. The HR director's response when pointed out, well, we trust our managers not to look at things they shouldn't. Trust. That's the security model. Trust. Folks, your business processes cannot run on trust alone. They need actual guardrails, actual enforcement. And Excel doesn't have this. In a real database application or in a modern no-code tool like Airtable, Microsoft Dataverse, or even SharePoint Lists, you can define permissions at a granular level. You can say, managers can see and edit records for employees in their department only. HR can see everything. Regular employees can view their own record only. The CEO can see everything, but cannot edit compensation without approval. That's role-based access control. That's security. That's what you need when you're dealing with sensitive business data. Excel gives you none of that. And if you're working with any kind of sensitive information, financial data, customer information, employee records, proprietary business data, that should terrify you. But it gets worse. Because it's not just about viewing data, it's about editing data. In Excel, if someone can open the file, they can change things. Unless you've set up protection, which again is trivial to bypass. Anyone who can view the file can edit it. There's no concept of read-only users versus editors versus administrators in a shared Excel file. Everyone is an admin. This means mistakes happen constantly. Someone accidentally types in the wrong cell. Someone deletes a row thinking it's blank. Someone fixes a formula, not realizing it's supposed to work that way. Someone sorts the data and forgets to select all columns and scrambles everything. And there's no way to prevent it. You can add warnings and instructions and notes in big red text. But ultimately, if they have the file open, they can change it. I know this sounds like I'm being dramatic, but I want you to really sit with this. Your critical business data is sitting in a file that anyone with access can accidentally or intentionally corrupt with no meaningful protection, no audit trail of who did what, and no way to restrict access to sensitive information. If that doesn't make you uncomfortable, it should. Problem number two, no real data validation. Garbage in, garbage out. Let's play a game. Right now, if you have access to a shared Excel file that multiple people edit, any shared tracker, any team spreadsheet, open it up. Pick any column that's supposed to contain consistent data. Let's say it's a status column, or a category column, or a priority column, or a date column. Now scroll through and look at the actual values in that column. What do you find? I'll bet you found some combination of the following. In a status column, open capitalized, open all small letters, open all capital letters, open capitalized with a space after, in progress with all small letters, in hyphen progress, in space progress, pending with a capital P, pending with all small letters, TBD, N/A for not applicable. See notes. Ask Janet. And three question marks in a row. In a date column, you might see 12/5/2024 or 5-DEC for December-24. December space 5, 12.5.24. Next week, TBD. ASAP, and completely blank cells. In a numeric field, you might see 500, about 500, $500, 500.00, 500 units, C note, N/A, and a long hyphen. In a simple yes-no field, you might see yes with a capital Y, yes with all small letters, a capital Y, a small y, yes with all capital letters, No capitalized, no all small letters, a capital N, a small N, no with all capital letters, maybe, TBD, IDK, and blank. This is the validation problem. In Excel, when someone clicks into a cell and starts typing, nothing stops them from typing literally anything. But wait, you say, Excel has data validation. You can set drop-down lists. You can restrict entries to certain values or date ranges. Yes, yes, you can. And people bypass them constantly. Here's how. One, copy-paste. If someone copies data from somewhere else and pastes it into a cell with validation, the validation is overwritten. The pasted value goes right in. Validation rules be damned. Two, delete key. Hit delete on a cell with a drop-down validation and it's now blank, even if blank wasn't supposed to be an option. Three, disabling validation. If someone knows what they're doing, they can just remove the validation rules entirely. Right-click, data validation, clear all, done. Four, bypass warnings. If you set validation to warn but allow, people click OK on the warning and type whatever they want anyway. The validation is advisory. It's a suggestion. It's a, hey, maybe you should pick from this dropdown nudge. It is not enforcement. And here's the really killer part. This ruins your reporting, completely ruins it. Let's say you have a status column and you want to count how many items are open with a capital O. You write a count if formula, code equals count if, and then in parentheses D colon D, comma, and then in quotation marks, the word open with a capital O. This formula will count cells that contain exactly open with a capital O and lowercase P-E-N with no extra spaces before or after. It will not count open with a lowercase O, open all caps, open with a trailing space, open with a leading space, and open with an extra character after it. So your count is wrong. You think you have 47 open items? You actually have 73, but 26 of them are spelled or formatted slightly differently and your formula missed them. This happens all the time. I have seen multi-million dollar businesses make decisions based on reports that were silently and visibly wrong because of inconsistent data entry in Excel. Let me tell you a story. There was a supply chain manager, let's call him Tom, who ran inventory tracking in Excel. One of the columns was product category. They had about 30 different product categories. Tom spent 3 weeks trying to reconcile an inventory valuation report that wasn't matching the financial system. He was pulling his hair out. The numbers were off by hundreds of thousands of dollars, and he couldn't figure out why. Turns out, two different people in the warehouses had been entering the same product category differently for 8 months. One person typed electronic components, first letters capital, exactly like that. The other person typed electronics hyphen components with a dash and spaces. Same category, same products, but different strings. So when Tom's VLOOKUP formulas tried to match categories to pricing tables, half the matches failed. When his pivot tables tried to summarize by category, the data was split across two categories. When he tried to run reports, the numbers were nonsense. 8 months of corrupted data, and nobody caught it because it looked fine when you were just scrolling through. The category name looked reasonable. It's only when you tried to use the data for analysis or reporting that it fell apart. Here's the thing that makes me angry about this story. This is not a data entry error. This is a system design error. The system, Excel, allowed this to happen. It shouldn't have been possible. In a real database or in any decent low-code tool, when you define a category field, you define it as a dropdown with specific allowed values. Electronic components is on the list. Electronics hyphen components is not. You cannot enter electronics hyphen components. The system literally will not let you. You pick from the list or you don't submit the record. That's data integrity. That's what databases are for. Excel gives you data suggestions. Databases give you data enforcement. And that difference is absolutely critical when your business depends on the data being accurate. I could give you a dozen more examples. The phone number field, where people enter numbers, are 555 in parentheses, 123 hyphen 4567, or 555-123-4567. Or just numbers, 555-123-4567. Or plus 1-555-123-4567. Or 555.123.4567. All different formats, all the same conceptual data, all unusable for automated processing. The name field where people enter John Smith or Smith, John, or John J. Smith or J. Smith, or in all capital letters, Smith space John, all referring to the same person, all treated as different values by formulas. The email field where someone types jsmith@company.com space with a trailing space, and now your VLOOKUP won't find them. This is death by a thousand cuts. Every little inconsistency seems minor in isolation, but they compound. And eventually your data is so dirty that you can't trust any report, any summary, any analysis. You spend more time cleaning data than using it. And the worst part? It happens invisibly. The spreadsheet looks fine. The data looks reasonable when you're scrolling through. It's only when you try to use the data for reporting, for analysis, for decision-making, that you discover it's garbage. Garbage in, garbage out. It's the oldest rule in computing, and Excel makes it very, very easy to put garbage in. Problem number 3, no audit trail. Who changed what, when, and why? Here's a scenario that will make your stomach drop if you've lived through it. You come into the office Monday morning, you grab your coffee, sit down at your desk, open up the shared tracking spreadsheet, the one your whole team depends on, and something is wrong. Numbers that were there on Friday are gone or changed. A bunch of rows have been deleted. Some column has been completely reformatted, and now the formulas are broken. Critical data is just missing. And you have absolutely no idea what happened, when it happened, or who did it. Welcome to the no audit trail problem. Excel does have some features that are supposed to help with this. There's track changes. There's a version history in OneDrive and SharePoint. Let me tell you what these actually do and where they fall short. Track changes. This feature shows you who made what edits, marked in different colors, in the spreadsheet. Sounds great, right? Except track changes only works if someone remembers to turn it on before the changes are made. If it's off, which is by default, there's no record. Also, track changes only record changes since the last time it was turned on, and it gets wiped out if someone saves the file without track changes enabled. It's fragile. Also, track changes makes the file significantly larger and slower, and it doesn't work with many Excel features. You can't use track changes with tables, pivot tables, or certain formulas. So in practice, a lot of people turn it off because it breaks things. Version history. OneDrive/SharePoint. This is better. If your file is saved to OneDrive or SharePoint, you get automatic version snapshots. You can go back and restore a previous version. This helps. It's genuinely useful for recovering from disasters, but it has limitations. One, it shows you snapshots of the entire file at different points in time. It doesn't show you a clean, readable log. At 3:47 p.m. on Tuesday, Marcus changed the status field on row 247, from proposal sent to negotiating. You have to open each version and manually compare to figure out what changed. Two, version history doesn't tell you why something changed. There's no comment field, no explanation. Just here's what the file looked like at this point in time. Three, if the file isn't saved to OneDrive/SharePoint, if it's on a local drive or a shared network drive, you don't get version history at all. Compare this to what a real database gives you. In any modern database or low-code tool, Airtable, Smartsheet, Microsoft Dataverse, Salesforce, literally anything purpose-built for data management, you get an audit log automatically. Every change to every record is logged with what field was changed, what the old value was, what the new value is, who made the change, when the change was made, down to the second. Sometimes even why, if there's a comment field. And this log is searchable, filterable, exportable. You can say, show me all changes to deal number 1042 in the last 30 days, and you get a complete detailed history. Why does this matter? Let me give you a real-world example that should scare you. A financial services firm was audited by their industry regulator. The regulator asked for documentation showing who had updated certain compliance records and when. These were records related to client suitability assessments, basically documentation that they had properly evaluated whether certain investments were appropriate for certain clients. The firm kept all this in Excel, shared spreadsheets, no audit trail. When the regulator asked, "Can you show us who updated client number 4782's risk assessment on March 15th? They couldn't. They had no record. They didn't know who had made the change. They didn't know what the value had been before. They had no way to prove that the assessment had been done correctly. What followed was a months-long nightmare. They had to reconstruct changes from email threads, from memory, from backup files. They hired consultants. They had lawyers involved. It was an absolute disaster. The eventual fine and remediation costs ran into the millions of dollars, literally millions, because they couldn't produce a simple audit trail. If they had been using a proper database application, something as simple as Microsoft Dataverse, or even a well-configured SharePoint list, the answer would have been, "Sure, here's the complete log of all changes to that record. Would you like it as a PDF or CSV?" One click, done. Audit over. But that's a big, scary regulatory example. Let me give you everyday examples where audit trails matter. Example one, the disappearing deal. Your sales manager and a sales rep are arguing about when a deal's closing date was changed. The rep insists they updated it last month to reflect a delayed decision. The manager doesn't remember that and thinks the rep is making excuses for a slipping forecast. Without an audit trail, it's he said, she said. With an audit trail, here's the log. The closing date was changed from March 15th to April 30th on February 23rd at 2:17 p.m. by rep's name. Discussion over. Example two, the mystery budget change. Your project budget spreadsheet shows a certain line item at $12,000. You're sure it was $15,000 last week. Did someone change it? Why? Was it a typo? A deliberate adjustment based on new information? An accounting error? You have no idea. No way to know. You have to send an email to the whole team asking, "Hey, did anyone change the budget for line item X?" and hope someone remembers. Example three, the deleted customer. A customer record is missing from your database, completely gone. Did someone delete it accidentally, deliberately? Was it a merge error? You don't know. You have to restore from backup and hope the backup is recent enough. With an audit trail, customer record number 447 was deleted on Thursday at 4:52 p.m. by username. You can follow up specifically. The lack of an audit trail means no accountability. People can change things and claim they didn't. No traceability. You can't reconstruct what happened when something goes wrong. No learning. You can't identify patterns of errors or who needs more training. No compliance. You can't prove to auditors or regulators what happened. And here's the thing. This stuff matters even if you're not being audited by regulators. It matters for basic business operations, for trust within teams, for making good decisions based on good data. When someone can change critical business data and there's no record of it happening, you have a systemic problem. And Excel creates that problem by design because it was never meant to be a multi-user database with audit requirements. Problem number four, required fields are not a thing. This one sounds simple, but it causes enormous ongoing headaches. In Excel, every cell is optional, always, forever. You cannot make a field truly required. But wait, you say, I can use data validation to show an error if a required field is blank. Sure, you can set up a validation rule that shows a warning message if someone tries to leave a cell blank. But here's what actually happens. One, the user sees the warning. Two, the user clicks OK or cancel or just hits enter. Three, the cell stays blank anyway. Four, the spreadsheet accepts it and moves on. The validation warning is advisory, not enforced. You cannot physically prevent someone from submitting a row with a blank required field. You can nag them about it, but you can't stop them. And here's the thing about human behavior. When people are busy, when they're in a hurry, when they don't have all the information right now, they will click past warnings and fill it in later. Except later never comes. In a real database application or form-based system, a required field stops you cold. You literally cannot submit the record until you've filled it in. The save button is grayed out. A red error message appears. The cursor jumps to the empty field. The system refuses to proceed until the required data is entered. Required means required, not strongly suggested, not please if you have time. Required. Why does this matter? Because blank fields break everything downstream. Example one, broken calculations. You have a budget tracker. The amount field is required. It's the whole point of the tracker. Someone adds a row for a new expense, but they leave the amount blank because they don't know the exact cost yet, and they plan to fill it in later. Your sum formula at the bottom adds up the amount column. Excel treats blank cells as zero in sum formulas. So your total is now understated by however much that expense actually costs. Your budget report is wrong. Decisions get made based on wrong numbers. Example two, missing records in reports. You have a project tracker with tasks. The due date field is required because you need to report on what's due this week. Someone adds a task but leaves due date blank because it's a future task and the date hasn't been set yet. Now that task doesn't show up in your due this week filter. It doesn't show up in your timeline view. It doesn't show up in your overdue report. As far as your reports are concerned, that task doesn't exist. Until it's suddenly late and someone asks, why didn't we know about this? Example three, unusable data. You're tracking customer contracts. The email field should be required because the whole point is to have a way to contact customers. Half your team fills in the email address. Half your team leaves it blank with a note like, we'll get later, or see CRM. Now you try to do an email campaign. Half your contacts are missing email addresses. Your campaign tool rejects the file. You have to go back and manually hunt down 200 email addresses from scattered sources. Hours of work because the system didn't enforce a requirement. I've seen project management spreadsheets where a third of the tasks had no due dates. How do you run a project status report from that? How do you sort by urgency when a third of your tasks have no date? How do you identify what's overdue? You can't. The report is meaningless. I've seen inventory trackers where the quantity field, literally the most important field in an inventory tracker, was blank in hundreds of rows because someone added the item to inventory but didn't count it yet, or counted it but forgot to type it in, or typed it somewhere else and thought they'd transfer it later. And it's not that the people are careless or negligent. People are busy. They're multitasking. They're interrupted. They're trying to move fast. They're adding a row quickly at the end of the day before they leave. The system has to enforce the rules because humans, all humans, including me, including you, will take shortcuts when they're under pressure. That's not a character flaw. That's human nature. If your business process depends on data quality, you cannot rely on human discipline alone. You need the system to enforce the requirements, to make it impossible to submit incomplete data. Excel cannot do this. Databases can't. In a database, when you define a field as required, it's required, not optional, not strongly recommended. If you try to save a record without filling in a required field, you get an error and the record doesn't save, period. That's what you need when data quality matters. And if your data doesn't matter, why are you tracking it at all? Problem number five, no notifications, no automation. Everything is manual. Let me ask you a question. How many of you have a recurring task on your calendar that's basically check the spreadsheet and see if anything needs attention? Or maybe it's phrased differently. Review inventory levels. Check for overdue tasks. Follow up on aging leads. Verify upcoming contract renewals. But the actual task is the same. Open a spreadsheet, manually scan through rows, look for things that meet certain conditions, and then manually take action. Maybe you're looking for inventory items below the reorder threshold so you can email purchasing. Maybe you're looking for support tickets open in 48 hours so you can escalate them. Maybe you're looking for sales deals that haven't been updated in 30 days so you can nudge the rep. Maybe you're looking for employee certifications expiring in the next 60 days so you can send renewal reminders. Whatever it is, the process is human looks at spreadsheet, human identifies issue, human takes action. This is exhausting and error prone, and it doesn't scale. The problem, Excel has no built-in notification or automation system. You can add conditional formatting that turns a cell red when a value hits a threshold. And that's genuinely useful when you're looking at the spreadsheet, but it doesn't send you an email. It doesn't create a task. It doesn't ping someone in Slack. It doesn't do anything except make the cell red and wait for you to notice. This is reactive, entirely reactive. You only know about the problem if and when you look. And if nobody looks today or this week, you might not know there's an issue until it's too late. Let me tell you a story that illustrates this perfectly. There was a property management company that had about 120 commercial tenants. They tracked lease renewal dates in Excel. They had a spreadsheet with columns for tenant name, property, lease start date, lease end date, renewal notice required, number of days before expiration that they needed to send the renewal notice. They had a nice conditional formatting rule. If the lease end date was within 60 days, the row turned yellow. If it was within 30 days, the row turned red. This worked great when their office manager, let's call her Linda, was there. Linda was diligent. She opened the spreadsheet every Monday morning, looked for yellow and red rows, and sent renewal notices immediately. Then Linda retired. Her replacement was competent, but not as systems-oriented. He didn't have the habit of opening the lease tracker every Monday. Sometimes he'd go 2 or 3 weeks without checking it. In the span of 4 months, 4 leases expired without renewal notices being sent. 4 tenants, 4 properties, thousands of square feet of commercial real estate. Some tenants called to ask about their renewal, and the company scrambled to send it late. One tenant had already signed a lease somewhere else and moved out. The company lost probably $200,000 in annual revenue from that one tenant alone, plus the cost and hassle of finding a new tenant, plus the gap in rental income while the space sat empty, all because nobody opened the spreadsheet and noticed the red rows. The spreadsheet knew. Data was there. The conditional format was working. The cells were red, but the spreadsheet doesn't tell you. It just waits for you to look. Now imagine the same scenario with a proper database application and automation. You set up a rule. When a lease end date is 90 days from today, send an email to the property manager and their supervisor with the tenant name, property address, and required renewal notice date. That's it. That's the rule. You configure it once, and then it just happens. Every day, the system checks lease end dates. When one hits the 90-day threshold, the email goes out automatically, without anyone having to remember to check. If you want to get fancy, you can add a second email at 60 days, a third email at 30 days, an escalation email at 15 days if the renewal hasn't been sent yet, a Slack notification to the whole team, a task automatically created in your project management system. All of this is possible, easy even, in modern low-code tools like Power Automate, Airtable Automations, Smartsheet Alerts, or Zapier. You don't need to know how to code. You configure it through a visual interface. When this condition is met, do this action. But Excel doesn't have this, not natively. You can bolt on Power Automate or macros or VBA scripts, but it's fragile and complex. And most people don't do it because it's outside their skill set. So instead, critical business processes depend on someone remembering to look, on human discipline, on habits that break when that one key person goes on vacation or gets busy or leaves the company. This is why I say Excel is not a business process tool. Business processes need automation. They need triggers. They need the system to take action based on conditions without human intervention. Here are more examples of automations you might need that Excel just can't do. When a support ticket is marked as urgent, immediately notify the support manager and create a Slack alert in the hashtag urgent tickets channel. When inventory quantity drops below the reorder point, automatically create a purchase order and email it to the vendor. When a new sales lead is added, automatically send a welcome email to the prospect and assign a follow-up task to the sales rep for 2 days from now. When an expense report is submitted, route it to the employee's manager for approval. And if the amount is over $1,000, also route it to the finance director. When a project task becomes overdue, send a daily reminder email to the task owner until it's marked complete. None of these are possible in Excel without complex, brittle workarounds. All of these are standard built-in features in modern low-code tools. The lack of automation means you're constantly playing catch-up. You're always reacting to problems after they've already happened instead of preventing them or addressing them proactively. And it means your business processes don't scale. When you have 10 leases, manually checking every Monday is fine. When you have 100 leases, it's tedious but manageable. I have someone asking for the URL to watch this live. I'm just going to take a quick second, get the URL, and send it to them. Give me 1 second. Why Excel fails. And there you go, sir. And it means your business processes don't scale. Yep. When you have 10 leases, manually checking every Monday is fine. When you have 100 leases, it's tedious but manageable. When you have 500 leases, you will miss things, guaranteed. Automation scales. Human vigilance does not. Let me just rapid fire through a few more problems before we move on, because we've covered the big ones in depth, but there are several other issues worth mentioning. Problem number 6, version control nightmares and multiple sources of truth. The final V2 revised actual final.xlsx problem. We've all been there. When Excel files are shared via email or downloaded locally, you instantly create multiple copies. Each copy can diverge. Now you have a 5 different versions of the truth floating around, and nobody knows which one is current. Even with modern cloud collaboration in OneDrive, you still get conflicts. 2 people edit the same cell at the same time. Someone works offline and syncs later. Merge conflicts happen. In a real database, there's one version, one source of truth. When you update a record, everyone sees the update immediately. There's no concept of copies or versions of the live data. Problem number 7, performance and scalability issues. Excel technically supports over 1 million rows, 1,000, 48,000, 576 rows to be exact. But in practice, performance degrades dramatically well before that. Once you hit tens of thousands of rows with formulas, calculations, and pivot tables, Excel starts slowing down. At 100,000 rows, it's noticeable. At 500,000 rows, it's painful. Opening takes forever. Scrolling is laggy. Filtering takes time. Calculations recalculate on every change, and you're staring at calculating 8% complete for 30 seconds. File sizes bloat. A 50 megabyte Excel file is not unusual for a mature tracking spreadsheet. That file takes minutes to open, crashes occasionally, and is a nightmare to email. Real databases handle millions of rows without breaking a sweat. The data lives on a server. You only load what you need to see. Queries are optimized. Performance stays consistent as data grows. Problem number 8, no relational structure. Everything is flat. In the real world, data is related. A customer has multiple orders. An order has multiple items. Each line item references a product. Each product belongs to a category. An employee belongs to a department. A project has multiple tasks. Each task has multiple comments. This is relational data, and it's what relational databases were invented to handle. Excel forces everything into flat tables. If you want to represent relationships, you use VLOOKUP or XLOOKUP or index match, formulas that reach across sheets and lookup values. These formulas break when someone sorts the lookup table, someone inserts or deletes rows, someone renames a column. The lookup table is in a different file, and that file moves or gets renamed. I've seen businesses with VLOOKUP chains 4 levels deep, a formula that looks up a value from sheet 3, which itself is looking up from sheet 7, which references sheet 11. When something changes in the chain, the whole thing breaks and nobody knows why. In a real database, relationships are just relationships. Customer number 1042 has order number 5001, number 5022, and number 5087. That's a fact stored in the database. You query it, you get those orders. No formulas, no lookups, no fragility. Problem number 9, security and compliance nightmares. Excel files are easily copied, easily emailed, easily put on USB drives. If your Excel file contains sensitive information, customer data, employee data, financial data, health information, anything regulated, you have a security problem. There's no DLP, data loss prevention. No encryption that actually works in practice. No audit trail of who accessed the file. No way to remotely wipe a file if a laptop is stolen. If you're in a regulated industry, healthcare, finance, government, and you're tracking regulated data in Excel, you're one audit away from a very expensive problem. Okay, we've gone deep on the problems. You get it. Excel fails in specific concrete ways when you use it as a database or business process tool. Let's take a quick break in the narrative here. If you're listening and you're feeling seen right now, if you're recognizing your own spreadsheet nightmares in these stories, I want you to know you're not alone. And it's not your fault. You did what made sense at the time. You used the tool that was available. You got early wins, and then the problems crept in slowly. So slowly, you didn't realize how bad it had gotten until you were already in deep. But now you know. Now you can see the problems clearly. And that means you can fix them. Let's talk about them. But first, let me tell you about today's sponsor, Afery Power Solutions. That's Afery. If you're serious about office automation, you need a reliable power solution to keep your equipment powered all the time. I'm currently using the Afery P280 power station in my own office. It's a 2,800 watt powerhouse with a 2,048 kilowatt hour capacity when used by itself and can be expanded 5 times with expansion batteries. That's enough to power my office from a day up to a week. There are multiple ways you can use the system. You can use it as a power backup in case of blackouts. I'm using it connected to solar panels to go 100% green in my home office and to be independent of fluctuating energy prices. It's a great, affordable way to have peace of mind. You can charge the Afery power station in multiple ways, from a wall outlet in only an hour and a half, solar panels, or from a car. You then have a reliable power source you can leave in place or take with you on the go. Whether you're working from a remote cabin or just need a solid backup for your home office, Afery has a range of stations from 600 watts all the way up to 3,600 watts. They offer a massive 7-year warranty, which is almost unheard of in this space, and prices are extremely affordable. Power your freedom and your workflow. Head to afery.com, that's Afery.com, and use my referral link by adding /ref=automate to the URL to see the P280 and their full lineup. Now let's get back to the episode. The checklist, how to know when you've outgrown Excel. Before we get into solutions, I want to give you a practical diagnostic tool. This is a checklist of warning signs that you've outgrown Excel. I want you to go through this list mentally or literally write it down and count how many apply to your situation. If you hit 3 or more, it's time to move on from Excel for that particular use case. Ready? Here we go. Warning sign number 1. The file takes more than 10 to 15 seconds to open or save. If you're clicking on the file and then waiting and waiting and waiting, the progress bar crawl, and Excel says not responding for a few seconds, that's a sign. Excel performance degrades with size and complexity. If your file is slow now, it's only going to get slower as more data gets added. Warning sign number 2, you have dueling spreadsheets or multiple versions floating around. If you've ever had to ask which version is the latest, or is this the master copy, or if you've had to reconcile changes from multiple copies manually, that's a sign. The existence of phrases like the master version or the working copy indicates that your data is fragmenting. That should never happen. Warning sign number 3, people regularly complain that data is wrong or outdated. If you hear things like, this number doesn't match what I entered, or I updated this last week, why is it still showing the old value? Or these numbers don't make sense. That's a sign. When people don't trust the data, the tracker has failed its primary function. Warning sign number 4, you spend more time fixing the tracker than using the data. This is the big one. If you have a recurring task that's essentially clean up the spreadsheet, or if you spend hours every week fixing formatting, reconciling duplicates, correcting errors, hunting down discrepancies, you've crossed the line. The tool should support your work, not become the work. Warning sign number 5, you need multiple people updating simultaneously and experiencing conflicts. If your team is regularly running into this file is locked by another user, or if you're using Excel online and see merge conflicts, that's a sign. Excel was designed for one person doing analysis, not for teams doing collaborative data entry. Warning sign number 6, you need notifications, approvals, or automated alerts. If you've ever thought, I wish this would automatically email me when X happens, or I need an approval workflow for Y, or someone should be notified when Z threshold is hit. That's a database need, not a spreadsheet need. Warning sign number 7, you're hitting performance issues or getting close to row limits. If the file is slow, if calculations take forever, if you're approaching tens of thousands of rows and worrying about the 1 million row limit, it's time to move to a real database. Warning sign number 8, data quality is suffering. Blanks everywhere, inconsistent formats, TBD and IDK in data fields, duplicate records, typos that break formulas, notes columns full of explanations because the data fields don't capture what you need. If your data is dirty and getting dirtier, the system isn't enforcing quality. Warning sign number 9, you need to restrict what different people can see or edit. If you've ever thought, I wish sales reps could only see their own leads, or I wish managers couldn't see salary data, or I wish interns had read-only access, that's a fundamental access control need that Excel cannot meet. Warning sign number 10, you're building complex workarounds that only one person understands. If the spreadsheet has macros or VBA code that just works, don't touch it, or if there's one person who's the keeper of knowledge and nobody else dares to modify the formulas, that's fragile. When key knowledge is locked in one person's head, you have a single point of failure. Warning sign number 11, leadership is making decisions based on data you don't fully trust. This is the scary one. If reports from your spreadsheet are going to executives or board members or clients, and you have that nagging worry that the data might not be 100% accurate, you need better tools. Business decisions are only as good as the data they're based on. Warning sign number 12, you've ever said out loud, this spreadsheet is a mess. Honestly, this might be the most reliable indicator. When the people who work with the spreadsheet daily describe it as a mess, a disaster, a nightmare, or the thing we need to fix eventually, it's time. Eventually is now. So how many did you get? 3 or more? 5 or more? All 12? If you checked off multiple items, congratulations. You've officially outgrown Excel for this use case. This is not a failure. This is growth. Your processes matured. Your needs evolved. The tool has not kept up. And the good news, genuinely good news, is that the tools you need are more accessible and affordable than ever before. Let's talk about what you should actually do. What Excel is actually good for, let's be fair. Before we jump into solutions, I want to take a moment to be fair to Excel, because I've been pretty hard on it for the last hour, and I don't want you to think Excel is bad software. Excel is exceptional software. It literally excels for what it was designed to do. It's one of the most important productivity applications ever created, and there are absolutely use cases where Excel is still the right tool, where it's better than any database. Let me tell you when you should absolutely keep using Excel. Financial modeling and scenario analysis. If you're building a 3-statement financial model running sensitivity analyses, building what-if scenarios, creating cash flow projections, Excel is your best friend. This is its native environment. The ability to link cells, build complex formulas, and instantly recalculate the entire model when you change one assumption. That's what Excel does better than anything else. One-off data analysis. You get a CSV export from some system. You need to quickly summarize it, find patterns, create some charts, answer a specific question. Excel is perfect for this. Load the data, use pivot tables, make some charts, get your answer. Done. Personal tracking and budgets. If it's just you tracking something for yourself, personal finances, workout routines, home renovation budget, meal planning, Excel is totally fine. The problems we've discussed are multi-user problems. For single-user tracking, Excel works great. Ad hoc calculations. Back of the envelope math. Quick calculations. If we raise prices by 8%, what happens to margin? Excel is the fastest way to answer these questions. Data transformation and cleanup. Excel's Power Query is actually an incredibly powerful tool for extracting, transforming, and loading data. If you need to reshape data, merge data sets, clean up formatting before importing somewhere else, Excel plus Power Query is excellent for this. Static reports and presentations. If you need to create a nicely formatted static chart or table for a presentation or a PDF report, Excel's formatting and charting capabilities are top notch. The key insight is this: use Excel for analysis and calculations. Use a database for record keeping and ongoing data management. These aren't competing tools, they're complementary. The ideal workflow is often data lives in a database or a low-code tool. When you need to do deep analysis, you export a snapshot to Excel and analyze it there. Best of both worlds. Power BI, Tableau, and other BI tools sit in between. They connect directly to databases for live analysis without needing Excel, but Excel still has its place. The problem we've been discussing isn't Excel is bad. The problem is Excel is being used for things it was never designed to do. For data management. Golden age of no-code and low-code tools that make building real database applications accessible to anyone. You don't need to hire a developer. You don't need a six-month IT project. You don't need a budget in the tens of thousands of dollars. You can solve most of these problems yourself with tools that are free or cheap, that have visual interfaces, and that you can learn in hours or days, not months. Let me walk you through your options, organized by where you're starting from and what you need. Category one, the Microsoft ecosystem, if you already have Microsoft 365. If your organization uses Microsoft 365, and statistically there's a good chance you do, you already have access to several tools that can replace your Excel chaos with minimal cost and effort. SharePoint lists, also called Microsoft lists. This is your first stop. Seriously, if you have Microsoft 365, start here. A SharePoint list is essentially a database table in your browser. It looks a bit like Excel, rows and columns, but it behaves like a database. Here's what you get. Real data types. A date field only accepts dates. A number field only accepts numbers. A choice field only accepts values from your predefined list. No more IDK in the date column. Required fields. Mark a field as required, and you literally cannot save a new item without filling it in. The save button stays grayed out. Built-in version history. Every item automatically has version history. You can see who changed what field, when, and what the old value was. Basic permissions. You can control who can view versus edit the list. You can't get as granular as only see your own rows without some configuration, but it's way better than Excel. Multiple views. Create filtered, sorted views for different purposes. The sales manager sees all deals. The sales reps see their own deals. Same data, different views. No conflicts. Multiple people can edit simultaneously. No file locking. No merge conflicts. It's a database. Everyone is editing the same live records. And here's the kicker. SharePoint lists can import directly from Excel. You don't have to retype all your data. Export your Excel to CSV or directly upload the Excel file, and SharePoint will create the columns and import the rows. Then you connect it to Power Automate for the automation magic. When an item is created in the inventory list, if quantity is less than 50, send an email to purchasing@company.com. Or when an item in the support tickets list has priority set to urgent, post a message in the #supporturgent Slack channel. When a contract in the contracts list has expiration date within 60 days, create a task in Planner assigned to the account manager. Power Automate has hundreds of pre-built connectors and templates. You don't write code. You click through a visual workflow builder. Is SharePoint Lists perfect? No, it's not as polished or feature-rich as some other tools, but it's free if you have Microsoft 365. It's easy to get started, and it solves the majority of the problems we've been discussing. Next is Power Apps. If you need more than just a list, if you need custom forms, complex logic, or a mobile app, Power Apps is the next step up. Power Apps is Microsoft's low-code app development platform. You build custom applications using a drag-and-drop interface. You can create data entry forms, dashboards, approval workflows, mobile apps, all connected to your data in SharePoint Lists, Dataverse, SQL Server, or dozens of other sources. It's more complex than SharePoint Lists, so there's a bit of a learning curve, but it's still low code. You're not writing C# or JavaScript, though you can if you want. You're configuring forms, defining rules, and building screens. Next is Microsoft Dataverse. This is Microsoft's professional-grade database platform. It's what serious Power Apps solutions are built on. It has enterprise-level security, full audit logging, complex relationships between tables, business rules, AI capabilities, and integration with the entire Microsoft ecosystem. It's more powerful than SharePoint Lists, but requires more setup and usually costs extra, depending on your Microsoft licensing. For most small to mid-sized firm teams, SharePoint Lists plus Power Automate is enough. If you're building something more complex or need enterprise features, Dataverse is the upgrade path. Category 2, no-code platforms. Cross-platform, modern, user-friendly. If you're not in the Microsoft ecosystem, or if you want something more modern and polished, there's a whole world of no-code platforms designed exactly for this problem. Airtable. Airtable is probably the best-known Excel replacement tool. It's often described as the love child of Excel and a database, and that's accurate. It looks and feels like a spreadsheet, grid view, cells, rows, columns, so the learning curve is minimal, but underneath, it's a real relational database. What you get? Linked records. Instead of VLOOKUP hell, you just link records. Customer table linked to orders table. Orders table linked to products table. Click the link, see all related records. Multiple views, grid, calendar, gallery, Kanban, Gantt, timeline. Same data, different visualizations. Form views. Create beautiful data entry forms that anyone can fill out. No need to give them access to edit the whole base. Automations, similar to Power Automate. When X happens, do Y. Send emails, update records, create tasks, post to Slack, integrate with 1,000+ other apps via Zapier. Interfaces, build custom dashboards and apps on top of your data without coding. Attachments, you can attach files directly to records, photos, PDFs, documents, no more C shared drive folder notes. Airtable has a generous free tier. Unlimited bases, up to 1,000 records per base. Paid plans start at $20 a month per user. It's particularly popular with creative teams, project managers, and small businesses. The interface is genuinely beautiful and intuitive. Next is Notion. Notion has evolved from a note-taking app into a surprisingly capable database platform. If your team is already using Notion for documentation, wikis, and project planning, you can add databases without switching tools. Notion databases have most of the same capabilities as Airtable. Linked databases, multiple views, formula fields, required properties. The interface is a bit different, more document-centric, but it's powerful. Notion also has a generous free tier and is cheaper than Airtable at scale. Next is Smartsheet. Smartsheets looks like Excel, but acts like a project management and database tool. It's particularly good for project-based tracking, Gantt charts, dependencies, resource management, timelines. If your Excel chaos is primarily around project management, Smartsheet is worth a serious look. It has forms, automations, dashboards, and excellent reporting. Next is Glide and AppSheet. These tools take a different approach. They turn your Google Sheets or Excel file into a real mobile app. You keep your data in a spreadsheet, which feels comfortable and familiar, but you wrap it in an app with authentication and role-based access, custom forms, beautiful mobile-friendly UI, notifications, and workflows. This is a good stepping stone option. You're not fully leaving the spreadsheet behind, but you're adding the database-like capabilities you need. AppSheet is owned by Google and is included with some Google Workplace plans. Glide has a free tier for basic apps. Category 3, work management platforms for project and task tracing. If your Excel problem is primarily around project management, task tracking, or workflow management, these tools are purpose-built for that. Monday.com. Monday.com is a visual work management platform. It looks a bit like a colorful modern spreadsheet, but it's built for managing projects, tasks, and workflows. What makes it great? Automations everywhere. When status changes to done, notify the project manager. Beautiful visualizations. Timeline, Kanban, calendar chart. Built-in forms for data entry. Granular permissions. Integration with everything. It's not cheap. It starts around $8 to $12 per user per month, but it's comprehensive. Next is Asana and ClickUp. Similar to Monday.com, but with different UX and pricing, both are excellent for task and project management with database-like structure underneath. ClickUp is particularly feature-rich and has a generous free tier. Asana has a cleaner, simpler interface. If your Excel file is fundamentally a project tracker, a task list, or a workflow tool, don't build a database. Use a work management platform. It'll be faster to implement and better suited to your needs. Category 4, traditional databases for when you need more power. Most people listening won't need this category, but I want you to know it exists. Microsoft Access. Yes, Access still exists. And for small to medium teams who need a real relational database and are willing to learn a bit of technical stuff, Access is actually solid. A well-designed Access database can handle tens of millions of rows, enforce complex business rules, support multiple simultaneous users, and have beautiful custom forms and reports. The downsides, it's Windows only, desktop-based, not in the cloud. And requires some technical knowledge to set up properly, but don't dismiss it entirely. It has its place. And last, SQL databases. PostgreSQL, MySQL, Microsoft SQL Server. If you have a developer on staff or you're willing to hire one for a project, a proper SQL database is the ultimate power solution. You build a real database schema with tables, relationships, constraints, and then you build a front-end application on top of it using tools like Retool, Bubble, AppSmith, or custom web development. This is the enterprise tier. It's overkill for most small teams, but if you're dealing with millions of records, complex business logic, high security requirements, or massive scale, this is the path. How to actually make the transition without it being a disaster? Okay, you've decided to graduate from Excel. You've picked a tool or you're leaning towards one. Now what? Let me give you a practical step-by-step plan for migrating without chaos. Step one, audit your current spreadsheet. Before you do anything else, you need to understand what you actually have. Go through the spreadsheet systematically and document. One, what is this tracking? What's the core thing? Customers, inventory items, projects, tasks, deals, employees. Two, what are all the columns slash fields? List every column for each one. What type of data is it? Text, number, date, yes, no, dropdown, etc. Is it required or optional? Does it have specific allowed values? Where does this data come from? Three, what are the relationships? Does this spreadsheet reference or link to another spreadsheet? Are there VLOOKUPs connecting data? Four, who uses this? List every person who views or edits the spreadsheet. What do they do with it? What do they need to see? Five, what reports or outputs does this feed? Who consumes the data? How? Weekly status reports? Dashboards? Pivot tables? Exports to other systems? Six, what is currently broken or painful? List every complaint, every frustration, every workaround. Write this down. Create a document. This is your specification. Step two, define your requirements for the new system. Turn your audit into concrete requirements. Who should be able to see all records versus only their own? Which fields are required? Which are optional? Which fields should have restricted choices, like dropdowns? What automations do you need? Email X when Y happens. What reports and views do you need? Do you need mobile access? Do you need external access? Clients, vendors, partners outside your organization? What integrations do you need? Does this need to connect to your email, calendar, accounting system, CRM, etc.? Again, write this down. This is your requirements document. Step three, choose your tool. Based on your requirements and your existing tech stack, pick your tool. Here's a cheat sheet. Already on Microsoft 365, small team, simple needs. Use SharePoint Lists plus Power Automate. On Google Workspace, use AppFeet or Glide. Turn Google Sheets into an app or switch to Airtable. Need rich project management features? Monday.com, ClickUp, or Smartsheet. Want maximum flexibility? Have some technical users? Use Airtable or Notion. Need enterprise grade with deep Microsoft integration? Use Power Apps plus Dataverse. Tiny team, simple tracking, budget conscious? Use Airtable free tier or Notion free tier. Need external form submissions from non-team members? Use Airtable or Typeform plus Airtable integration. Pick one. Don't agonize. Most of these tools have free trials. You can change your mind if it doesn't work out. Step four, build a prototype. Do not try to migrate everything at once. That's a recipe for disaster. Pick one piece, ideally the most painful piece or the simplest piece, and build that first. If your Excel file tracks both inventory and vendor contracts, pick one. Build inventory first. Validate that it works. Then tackle vendor contracts. Spend a day or two building a prototype in your chosen tool. Create the tables slash lists, define the fields, set up some views, maybe configure one or two simple automations. Step five, get feedback and iterate. Show the prototype to two or three colleagues who will actually use it. Have them test it. Enter some data. Try to break it. Collect feedback. This should be a dropdown, not pretext. I need to be able to filter by date range. Can we add a view that shows only my items? The form is asking for too much info. Some of these should be optional. Refine based on feedback. Iterate. Don't launch until the core functionality is solid and people are saying, this is actually better than the spreadsheet. Step six, clean your data before migration. This is critical. Do not import dirty data into your new system. Before you migrate, standardize dropdown values. Decide, is it open with a capital O or open with all small letters? Pick one. Use find and replace to fix all variations. Fill in or flag blank required fields. If a field is now going to be required, you can't have blanks. Either fill them in or mark those records as incomplete. Convert dates to a single format. Excel dates are a nightmare. Export to CSV. Use a tool or a script to standardize them to ISO format. This is YYYY-MM-DD for the year, the full year, hyphen two character month code, hyphen two character date code. Remove duplicate rows. Use Excel's remove duplicates feature or manually dedupe. Validate that formulas are working. If you have calculated columns, verify the calculations are correct before importing. Better yet, recreate the calculations in the new system using its formula features. Think of this as spring cleaning. You're not just moving data, you're moving clean data. This is your one chance to fix everything that's been broken for months or years. Step 7, import your data. Most tools have Excel/CSV import wizards. Use them. Map your Excel columns to the new system's fields. Set the data types. Import. Then spot check. Do the record counts match? Do random samples look correct? Are dates formatted properly? Are relationships/links working? Fix any issues before going live. Step 8, set up automations and workflows. Now that the data is in, configure the automations you defined in step 2. When inventory quantity drops below reorder point, email purchasing. When support ticket is created with priority equals urgent, notify manager. When contract expiration date is within 60 days, create task or account manager. Test each automation. Make sure it fires correctly. Adjust the triggers and actions as needed. Step 9, train your team. Schedule a training session, 30 to 60 minutes. Walk through how to add a new record using the form or interface, not direct table editing if possible, how to view and filter data, how to update existing records, what the automations do and what to expect, who to contact if something breaks. Record the session or create a simple guide. Make it available for future reference and for onboarding new people. Emphasize, this is easier than the spreadsheet. Show them how they don't have to worry about formulas breaking or data getting scrambled. Show them the automation that will now handle things they used to have to do manually. Step 10, run both systems in parallel for 2 to 4 weeks. This is the secret to smooth transitions. Don't shut down the Excel file immediately. Keep it around, but mark it as legacy. Do not use for new data. Have people use the new tool for all new entries and updates, but keep the old Excel file as a reference during the transition. This gives everyone time to get comfortable. If someone is confused about where to find something, they can check the old file. If something is missing in the new system, you can add it without panic. After 2 to 4 weeks, when everyone is comfortable and the new system is working smoothly, officially retire the Excel file. Move it to an archive folder. Send a final email. The Excel tracker is now officially retired. All data is in new tool. Do not add anything to the Excel file. It will not be monitored. Step 11, celebrate the win. Seriously, when you successfully retire that painful spreadsheet, acknowledge it. Send a team email. We've officially graduated from the Excel chaos. Thanks to everyone for making the transition smooth. Here's to better data. People need to see the change can be positive. Make it a moment. Stories, before and after transitions. Let me share a few more stories to celebrate what this looks like in practice. Story 1, the sales pipeline nightmare. Before, a 20-person sales team shared an Excel file on SharePoint to track their deals. 1,800 rows. Everyone could see everyone else's deals, which caused tension. Reps didn't like their managers hovering over every detail. The file took 30-plus seconds to open. Reps were constantly overriding each other's data. The sales manager spent 3 hours every Monday manually pulling numbers into a PowerPoint for the weekly leadership meeting. When a rep left the company, their deals were often lost or miscategorized. No way to know if a deal had been dormant for 30-plus days without manually scanning. After. Move to a SharePoint list with a Power Apps interface. Each sales rep sees only their own deals by default, with a toggle for managers to see all. Required fields ensure no deal can be created without a customer name, expected close date, and deal value. Power Automate sends a notification to the rep and their manager when a deal hasn't been updated in 30 days. The manager's Monday report is now a live Power BI dashboard connected to the SharePoint list. 2 clicks to open, always current. Results? Manager's weekly prep time from 3 hours to 15 minutes. Data quality dramatically improved. No more blank fields, no more duplicates. Reps happier. Privacy, less micromanaging feeling. 0 lost deals during rep transitions, better data integrity. And migration took 3 weeks, done entirely by the sales operation manager. No IT, no developers. Story 2, the inventory disaster. Before, A small manufacturing company tracked inventory in a 1,200-row Excel file. When stock of a component fell below the reorder threshold, someone was supposed to check the spreadsheet and order more. Someone was often nobody. Three times in 1 year, production stopped because a critical component ran out unexpectedly, costing tens of thousands in lost production time and rush shipping fees. The file had constant errors, numbers entered as text, inconsistent product names, formula cells accidentally overwritten. After, built an Airtable base with tables for products, inventory transactions, and suppliers. Products table has fields for current quantity, reorder point, and preferred supplier. When an inventory transaction is entered that brings a product's quantity below the reorder point, an automation sends an email to the purchasing manager with the product name, current quantity, reorder quantity, and the supplier's contact info. A dashboard view shows all products currently below reorder point. Form-based data entry ensures data quality. No more numbers as text. Results. Zero stockouts in the 8 months since going live. Purchasing manager spends 10 minutes a day on reorder checks instead of 45 minutes. Data quality near perfect. Form entry enforces validation. Built in 2 days by the operations manager using Airtable's free tier. Upgraded to paid $20 a month after successful pilot. Story 3, the HR compliance nightmare. Before, an HR department of 3 people maintained employee records across 5 Excel files, personalinfo.xlsx, compensation.xlsx, performancereviews.xlsx, trainingcertifications.xlsx, and leaverequests.xlsx. When an employee's name changed, marriage, legal name change, it had to be manually updated in 5 places. When a regulator asked for all employees with expired first aid certifications, it took a full day of manual lookup across files. No audit trail, couldn't prove who approved what or when. Sharing files with managers meant exposing sensitive data. After, migrated to Microsoft Dataverse with a Power Apps interface. 1 employee table. Single source of truth. Related tables for certifications, performance reviews, leave requests, etc., all linked to the employee record. Change an employee name once, it updates everywhere. Certification expiry report is a saved view, runs in 3 seconds. Power Automate sends certification renewal reminders 60 and 30 days before expiry. Role-based permissions. Employees can view their own records. Managers can view their team's records, but not compensation. HR can see everything. Finance can see compensation only. Full audit log on every field change. Results. Compliance reporting time from hours to seconds. 0 missed certification renewals since launch. Data errors down by over 95%. Single source of truth plus required fields. Passed regulatory audit with flying colors. Complete audit trail provided in minutes. Setup took 6 weeks, done by an HR manager with help from IT for permissions setup. Closing, the path forward. All right, we've been going for just over an hour and a half. Let me bring this home. If you've made it this far, you understand why Excel fails when used as a database. The specific problems, access control, validation, audit trail, automation, scale, relationships. How to recognize when you've outgrown Excel. What tools are available to replace it? How to actually make the transition. Here's what I want you to take away from this episode. 1, Excel is not the enemy. Excel is exceptional software for what it was designed to do. Use it for calculations, analysis, modeling. Just don't use it as a database. The problems you're experiencing are not your fault. You used the tool that was available. You got early wins. The problems crept in gradually as your needs grew beyond what Excel can handle. That's normal. That's growth. 3, better solutions exist and are accessible. You don't need to be a programmer. You don't need a massive budget. You don't need a 6-month IT project. Low-code and no-code tools have democratized this. You can build real solutions yourself. 4, start small. Don't try to fix everything at once. Pick 1 painful spreadsheet, migrate that, learn, then expand. Incremental wins compound. 5, clean data before you migrate. This is your 1 chance to fix everything. Don't import garbage into a new system. 6, involve your team. get feedback, train people, run systems in parallel during transition, make change collaborative, not dictatorial. And 7, celebrate wins. When you successfully retire a painful spreadsheet, acknowledge it. Show people that change can be positive. Your homework. Before this week is over, I want you to do one thing. Identify the one spreadsheet in your world that is causing the most pain. Just one. And spend 1 hour exploring whether SharePoint lists or Airtable or one of the other tools we discussed could do what that spreadsheet is trying to do, but better. Sign up for a free trial. Watch a 10-minute tutorial on YouTube. Import a sample of your data and play with it. You might be surprised how quickly it clicks, how much better it feels to have required fields that actually enforce, automations that actually fire, permissions that actually work. The world runs on spreadsheets today, but the smarter offices, the ones that are more efficient, more accurate, less frustrated, are moving their data into purpose-built tools and freeing their people from spreadsheet janitor duty. You could be one of them. You deserve to be one of them. Excel will always have its place, but it's not a database. And once you stop trying to make it be one, everything gets better. Thanks for sticking with me for this long, deep dive. I know an hour and a half is a commitment, but this topic deserved it. If this resonates with you, share it with that coworker who's always complaining about the tracker. Send it to your manager who keeps asking why the reports are wrong. Post it in your team Slack and join the conversation. Come find us on LinkedIn on our website, automateofficework.com. Wherever you hang out online, I'd love to hear your Excel horror stories and your success stories when you make the switch. If you enjoy the insights and efficiency tips from the Automate Office Work podcast, consider supporting the show through our Buy Me a Coffee page. Your generous contributions help keep the high-quality content flowing and allow us to continue exploring the best ways to streamline your professional life. You can easily make a donation or join our community of supporters by visiting buymeacoffee.com/automateoffice. Every coffee goes a long way in fueling the research and production that makes this podcast possible. And if you would like to reach out, you can find me on LinkedIn. I am Justin Turman, T-U-R-M-A-N, a lawyer, coder, and linguist currently in the Amsterdam area, but originally from the U.S. You can also find me. My email address is justin@automateofficework.com. I am happy to connect with anyone if you would like to reach out to me. On my website, I have a great big book a call button. Feel free to reach out and let's have a chat. You might be able to use a lot of the resources that I have. This is episode 77. So I've been doing podcasts almost every single Friday afternoon live on LinkedIn for just now. I think today is May 1st. Yeah, I started on a November 1st. So it is now exactly a year and a half that I have been podcasting with all kinds of great resources and all kinds of topics, showing demonstrations of how to do this because I did it myself, and as well as bringing on guests who have gone over their experiences and their expertise. If you would like to suggest other types of subjects, or if you would like to come on as a guest and share your experience and expertise, please do so. Reach out to me. We can make it happen. As well as if you do need extra help, this is my full-time job. I am a lawyer and a coder, so I do focus on legal departments and automating their office work, but then I often expand to the other departments as well because all the departments are experiencing basically the same challenges of administrative or office work. I know that the lawyers like to feel special, but even for lawyers, it's glamorized office work often. And so that's what we focus on here at Automate Office Work. We don't go straight for the interesting, I guess, the exciting kind of flashy new tools, because my approach is I believe that about 80% of work that is being done, it is the workhorse kind of work. It's this admin work, right? We're being pitched these AI tools that will write an email for us, but the AI can't tell you who to send the email to, right? So that's where I focus on, is getting all of these workflows, getting simple tools that you often already have, such as Microsoft Office, making them work better for you. And if you can use, if you need any of my help, reach out to me. I'm available for consulting. I can give you advice and point you in the right direction, which is very valuable to get you started in the right direction, as well as I do already have over 60 projects that I've worked on. So whatever you need, there's a good chance that I already have the foundation of the beginnings, and maybe we just need to tweak it a little bit for you, as well as I am available for doing more like team education. Maybe you need me to come to your team offsite and spend the day with you and your team and help you raise the awareness of everybody about how work processes work. And then we can also do some brainstorming for the kinds of things and get your team excited and on the same page moving forward. So yeah, those are my three main topics. For the legal departments as well, I am available for specific projects, whether you already have a dream project or whether you need me to help you define what that project is, as well as for some of my clients now, I am now doing role-based work as well. They don't hire me just for a specific project. They hire me for a specific position, and then they ask me, can you do the work of this person? And as you are doing it, everything that you touch, we want you to automate. So it's very much more expansive. It is automate the entire role of what this person was doing. And so, yeah, I offer many kinds of services. All right. So let's see if I've got any messages. I'm viewing them on LinkedIn. All right. I'm getting a great job, Justin. Thank you very much, sir. Appreciate it. Yeah, it's been extremely long. I do understand that this person came on kind of in the middle of the broadcast. So go back and it'll be good for you to watch the beginnings of this as well. And please share this with everyone. I believe this is a very foundational episode because everybody is struggling with Excel and not everybody understands why or how to get away from it. Many people are thinking that AI is the answer. And actually, my approach is no, AI is not the answer. It's only going to speed up even more chaos. We need to be using the right tools at the right time. Maybe sometimes there is an appropriate time to bring in AI tools, but it's not going to be all the time. All right. We go back to that pocket knife metaphor that you don't just use a general tool for everything. Like you don't use a pocket knife for when you're constructing a house, right? Yes, a pocket knife might have a little saw and a little file and little scissors or something, but you're not going to be using that to construct a house. You're going to want to use the right tools for the right job. Okay, so that is my point. That's my main point here is Excel is a wonderful tool for what it was designed to be used for. Use it in the right way. And then when you are needing it for something else, use the right tools for what you're doing, okay? That's not going to be Excel. You're going to outgrow Excel. Excel is not the right tool for a lot of what people are using it for, okay? I'm your host, Justin, and this has been Automate Office Work. Now, go close that Excel file, and maybe don't reopen it for the same purpose tomorrow. And happy automating.